Well, good morning. Again, like eight of you. Yeah. Everybody else is like, no, that's okay. Well, my name is Reed, and I'm the lead pastor here at Gwinnett Church, if we haven't had the chance to meet. I'm so glad that you're here with us. If you've been coming for the past few weeks, this is your first time seeing me, it's because we kind of, around here, our flow is sometimes we drop the screen, and you guys get to hear from our founding pastor, Andy Stanley, and then sometimes I have the opportunity to preach live, and so we kind of go back and forth, and so today is one of those days. And it's also an exciting day because we're going to get to celebrate baptisms, and we'll have four at this service. We had four in the last service. We have more happening later today. It's like 15 baptisms around here today. So yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. So because we have four baptisms, I've been told I'm on the clock. And so I'll be brief. I wanted to share with you an interesting interaction that I had recently. So a couple weeks ago, I was traveling for a seminary class, and we had to fly and go and take the class, not here and not online. And so we were going in person to have our class. And when I got on the plane, I'm seated in a row with an older couple. And typically, I am not somebody, even though I am an extrovert, I am not somebody that likes to talk to strangers on airplanes. I just don't. I'd rather watch my movie or read a book or listen to music and not talk to you. You know what I mean? Like, and so, so if you're ever sitting next to me on an airplane and I don't talk to you, it's not you, it's me. And so, so I don't normally do that, but this older couple, they were trying to get their carry-on into the overhead compartment, and I could tell that they were struggling. And part of that is, I think, you know, like the older you get, you shrink. And so, they were like, and this lady had managed to cram right at around 1,100 pounds. In this carry-on. I was like, it's so dense. And so the two of them were struggling. And so I was like, hey, can I help? And they were like, yeah, thank you so much. And what ensued inevitably was a conversation. And so we sat down, and the gentleman sitting next to me, and so he asks me, you know, what are you traveling for? Is it work? You going on vacation? Like what's the purpose? And I was like, well, you know, it's work and school. And so it's like sort of work. And so he was like, oh, what do you mean school? Like, what kind of school are you in? And I was like, well, I'm in seminary. And he was like, seminary? He goes, are you trying to be a pastor? And I was like, yeah, I know. I was like, I am trying. And so I am trying so hard. I proceeded to tell him, though. I was like, hey, like I actually am a pastor, and I'm pursuing, you know, this degree just in order to grow as a pastor, as a leader, so that I can be better, a better pastor for the church that I have the opportunity to serve at. And so, you know, he was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm from Atlanta too. He's like, you know, what's your church called? And I was like, okay, we're going to keep talking. And so, like, I thought we were done. But I was like, okay, you know, it's Gwinnett Church, you know? And he's like, Gwinnett. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I hadn't heard of it. And I was like, that's okay. And he's like, is it a Baptist church? And I was like, no, but like, I was like, I'll explain. So I took a moment to explain like kind of what church we are. I was like, hey, you know, it's non-denominational, and, you know, we kind of came out of a Baptist church, but then, you know, we're a part of a network of churches. There's eight of them around Atlanta, and ours is one of the locations. And, you know, it all started in this one church in Alpharetta called North Point. And he goes, North Point, North Point. North Point. And he goes, Andy Stanley. And I was like, yeah, yeah, that's right. I was like, absolutely. And now I have no idea where this is about to go. You're laughing because you're like, people have strong opinions both ways. And so so I was like, man, what are we doing? And so I said, yeah, Andy Stanley, absolutely right. And he goes, well, so you guys got a big church, huh? And I was like, I mean, I guess you could say that. And he goes, well, I mean, congratulations to you, young man. And I was like, thank you? Why do you sound mad about it? And then he proceeds, he says, now, please don't take this the wrong way, which, can we all just be honest? Whenever somebody prefaces, please don't take this the wrong way, whatever they're about to say, you're inevitably gonna take the wrong way, right? Like, it's like, get ready, I'm gonna offend you, but I wanted to do it humbly, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay. And so I'm like just ready for this guy. And so he's like, hey, don't take this the wrong way. But he's like, I would never go to your church. And I was like, you don't even know me, but I'm gonna like watching you get that bag down. And so I was like, this is gonna be really great. He's like, I would never go to your church. And he said, the reason why, he goes, too big. It's too big, too many people. Feels like, you know, it's all about the numbers with you guys. He goes, feels like it's all about the numbers. And he goes, and I don't wanna be another number. And, you know, at first I'm thinking, ouch. I'm also thinking, I am going to let this guy get his bag down. And then, but you guys, honestly, I'm sitting there and I was thinking, you know, I get that. I understand that. Like, it stings a little bit because you're like, you don't know me. Like, it's not like that. But then at the same time, you're like, I understand the concern. I understand that concern of like, nobody wants to be made to feel like just a number. Like just a face in a crowd of faces. So I understand the concern. I understand the sentiment like that he felt, the concern that he feels about, you know, a church like ours being all about the numbers. I understand that concern. I get that. Because there have been churches like ours and church movements, big and small, that have done just that. That they have been all about the numbers and they have chased the numbers and they have misprioritized, they have misused, they have abused, they have justified, they have even lied about the numbers. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen churches that are all about the numbers, and when that happens, you lose focus about what matters the most, and you get off track, and you get off mission when you're all about the numbers. And so I understand the concern, because then all of a sudden, like this thing that probably started genuine, now it's all about the bottom line, and it's about budgets, and it's about buildings, and it's about all of those things. And so I understand the concern. I'm sitting there going like, I get that. I get that. All of a sudden it's about filling rooms instead of loving and serving people. I get it. And for some of you, you understand that. Some of you, you've seen that from afar. You've seen churches like that or church movements like that. And it made you skeptical. You went, really? Some of you have been a part of things like that. And because of that, it left you feeling jaded, used, left you feeling like just another number. So now you're a little skeptical of it. Some of you, you felt like that today. You were wrestling with that today. You were walking in here, you pulled up in the parking lot, it looks like the Mall of Jesus, and you're like, what am I showing up for? You're walking in, you're going like, what is this? And you had the concerns walking in today. What did my friend invite me to? You walk in something like this and you're like, is it all about the numbers? I get it. I get the concern. It's valid. I understand. If I'm being 100% transparent with you guys, 12 years ago, when my wife and I came here for the first time, and we were interviewing to come on staff. I remember this was the biggest church that I'd ever attended. Certainly the biggest church that anybody had ever invited me to come and be on staff for. And so I remember coming here 12 years ago and I had the exact same questions and concerns. Is this genuine? Is this authentic? Can it be at this size? Or is it all about the numbers? So, this morning, we're going to celebrate baptism in a minute, but I wanted to address that question for us. After that conversation with that man got me thinking, and I thought to myself, I wonder how many other people have asked that or are wrestling with that. And so I wanted to just answer the question this morning, are we all about the numbers? And the answer, you guys, is no and yes. Let me explain. In the beginnings of the church, not this church, but the church, like big C, capital C, global church, like in the early days of Jesus's ecclesia, the movement that he envisioned that would go out and change the world, right? Like in the beginning of this thing, post Jesus's death and resurrection, he's handed the keys of his mission and his movement to his followers, and now the church begins. And from the beginning, what you'll see, if you read through, you can read the chronicles of the beginning of the early church, and you read about it in your Bibles in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is written by a guy named Luke, who also wrote, Luke, that was not a trick question. I'm like, Christians are not creative at naming things. We're like, what was his name? Well, call it that. You know what I mean? Like, and so yes, it was written by a guy named Luke. And so Luke writes Luke, and then he writes Acts. He writes the story of Jesus, and then he writes the story of the church. And they can be read together, right? As almost like one big reading, Luke, Acts. But when you read the book of Acts, right, you see the beginnings of the church, and what you'll pick up on as you're reading, and you don't really even have to be looking that hard, what you'll pick up on is that Luke emphasizes numbers a lot. He emphasizes numbers and growth. You see it, I mean, even in the very first chapter, look what you see. It says, this is in Acts chapter 1. It says, in those days, Peter stood up, and the days that they're talking about are the days following the death and resurrection of Jesus. They're trying to figure out what to do next. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. So Luke says, hey, this is our starting point. I want you to know what we started with. I want you to know like the group that God began with. And he says, there's a group of people, about 120 people. And they're getting together, and they're praying, and they're seeking God for what they're supposed to do next. And it says around that time, while they're gathering to pray and to ask God for what he's gonna do next and to wait on the promised Holy Spirit, While these 120 people are together, they're waiting and they're praying. And then on Pentecost, which is it was a religious festival in Judaism, they're gathered together and they're praying. And then the Holy Spirit falls on this group of people. And all of a sudden now they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to speak in different languages, and it's wild. And people that are watching are assuming that these people are drunk. And then Peter stands up and he's like, I know it's 5 o'clock somewhere, but it's 9 o'clock here and we're not drunk. And so he's like, hey, listen, like God is doing something in your midst. And so then Peter stands up and he preaches his very first sermon. And this group of 120, it grows. You see it? It says right here, Acts chapter 2, it says, those who accepted his message, his first sermon, they were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And so Luke lets us know, hey, it grew. Huge. Y'all thought megachurch was like a new thing or an American thing. They were megachurch day one. Now they reverse grow later, but don't worry about that right now, okay? So there's 3,000 people that are added and baptized. It's amazing. And he keeps going, and he's gonna point out like that another massive thing happens. So Peter and John, they continue to lead this group of people and to lead this church that is growing. And it says that one day they're going to pray, as they would often do, and to preach at the temple. They're walking in, they go through a temple gate called Beautiful. And as they're walking through, you actually see that today in Israel, like it's there, that temple gate. And so they go through that gate, and it says that while they're walking through that day, there was a man there that was lame from birth. And I don't mean uncool. Like he's sitting there and he is begging. And while he's begging, Peter and John see him and they say, hey, we don't have silver and gold, but what we do have in the name of Jesus, get up. And he's healed miraculously. And a crowd draws in and people are surrounding him. And it says that Peter and John, then Peter stands up and he preaches his second message. And now he preaches this message, and look what Luke tells us. It says that they seized Peter and John, the religious leaders of the day, because they're causing a ruckus. They seized Peter and John because it was evening. They put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard his message believed, and so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. So now it's continuing to grow, and people are being added. And the reason why they know how many are being added is because somebody in the group is counting. Because for some reason, they're thinking that this must be important. And so they're counting it up and they're going, man, we're busting at the seams. And now Luke will go on and he will record, even when he doesn't record in detail the exact numbers, he wants you to know that the group continues to grow and people are added to their number. And so he records that as they gather in homes and as they gather in groups and as the message spreads, God keeps adding to their number. You can see it, look, in Acts 2:47, as they're gathering and breaking bread and praying in homes, it says that the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. He keeps going, Acts chapter 5, even after a difficult moment in the church, they've experienced loss and something that was pretty hard to understand. In Acts chapter 5, it says, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Now he keeps going, Acts chapter 6, he says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was increasing, he goes on, he says, so the word of God spread and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Luke is letting us know, hey, look, like from the jump, numbers were a big deal. People are being added to their number. This is something that's important. Certainly numbers aren't everything, but they are something. They're important enough that Luke decided he needed to emphasize it. And so numbers had a heavy emphasis in the early church. But here's what we know from some other things I'm about to show you is that while numbers were something, they certainly were not everything. And the early church, while they did emphasize numbers, they were not all about the numbers. And we know that because of a couple details that Luke includes. First, you'll notice that Luke continues to say that it was the Lord that added to their number. And so he wants to remind the readers that it wasn't because we were chasing numbers. It wasn't because of big budgets and big buildings and lasers, hazers, and lights. And it wasn't because of cool programs. And it wasn't because of cool t-shirts. It wasn't any of that stuff that was growing. We did not grow the church. God did. And so he's going, we're not chasing the numbers. We're chasing God and he's adding. And so one, we know that they're not about the numbers because Luke is going, we're refusing to take any credit for it. That was all God. The other reason why we know that the church, while they were emphasizing numbers, while the numbers were something, the reason why we know it wasn't everything to them is because Luke makes a point as he mentions numbers, you guys, throughout the book of Acts and even also in the Gospel of Luke, what you'll see is that he does something, and I love that he does this. Whenever he mentions numbers, he always attaches names. Whenever Luke will mention numbers, he'll always now zoom in and he'll give you a name. Somebody that was represented in those numbers. Somebody whose life was impacted as they were a part of those numbers. And so Luke will give you some names throughout the book of Acts. He'll tell you about a guy named Stephen. And Stephen is a Greek name, and so we know that he was not a Jewish believer, but rather he was a Greek God-fearer who would have become a convert to Christianity. And Stephen is mentioned very early on in Acts, and some scholars believe that Stephen may have been a part of the 3,000 that were converted on that first sermon that Peter preached. And so Stephen is there, and he's in one of these crowds where Peter has preached, and Luke tells us a little bit of his story. He says that Stephen puts his faith in Jesus and he's a man of integrity. When the church was growing and they were trying to pick new leaders to care for widows and orphans and the poor and trying to lead out on some of the social programs that the church was starting to feed people and to help people. He said as they were doing that, that when they were looking for the right leaders, they picked Stephen because he was a man of integrity, full of faith and wisdom. And Stephen rises to the challenge and he leads well. And it says that many miracles are done in and through Stephen's life. And then Stephen actually goes on to become the first Christian martyr. The first person murdered for his faith is Stephen that we know about. And his death actually leads to the church having to leave Jerusalem and spreading. And now the gospel message leaves Jerusalem and goes out to the rest of the world. And it launches through Stephen. He comes out of those numbers. There's a name. He mentions the name of Lydia. Lydia is somebody who was a part of the crowd which gathered just outside of Philippi when the Apostle Paul went to take the message of Jesus out of the Middle East and into Europe for the very first time. And he showed up, the first place he went was to a place called Philippi. And when he got to Philippi, what Paul would do, his strategy in sharing the message was he would start with Jewish people because they had a similar background. And so where the Jews would gather in Greek and Roman cities was just outside the city. They would go outside the city and they would gather to pray. And so Paul goes and looks for that group, and there's a little crowd that gathers around a river, and Lydia is one of those people. She's one of the names in a number of people that gather to hear Paul. It says that Lydia becomes a follower of Jesus. It's so impactful to her life that she then turns around and begs for Paul and Silas, his traveling companion, to come back to her house and to tell all of her neighbors and family and friends. And so many people begin putting their faith in Jesus, and Lydia hosts one of the very first house churches in Europe. I was just over there in Philippi as a part of this class. That's where I traveled, suffering for the Lord in Greece. And so I was just there, though, in Philippi for this seminary class. That's where we were traveling to. And in Philippi, there is an eight-sided church. Now, when churches were started back in the day, they had to meet in homes at first because they weren't allowed to have their own buildings. And then when the Caesar allowed Christians to begin to build their own buildings, they would build these small buildings on top of the homes where they had originally met for decades. And they would build these small eight-sided churches. These were the original church buildings. And they have found in Philippi an eight-sided building. And archaeologists continue to excavate, and what they've seen through some imagery is that underneath that building is another building, and they believe that that is the home of Lydia. Lydia, who hosted the first church and helped the gospel go from the Middle East into Europe and beyond. There's names in the numbers. Paul will also tell us later, the Apostle Paul will tell us about another guy who's mentioned also in Acts. His name was Epaphras. He was present in Ephesus when the Apostle Paul was preaching. Epaphras takes the message of Jesus. He hears the good news that there's a God that loves him and sent his son to die so that he could have a relationship with him. That's the good news of the gospel. And that guy takes the message back to his hometown. He was traveling for business. He just so happened to be in Ephesus in a crowd of people with a bunch of different faces. And he goes back to his hometown and he brings the message back home and he starts a church, and it's in a place called Colossae. And now you have record of Paul writing to that church. It's called the Book of Colossians. And Epaphras takes the message and it spreads and it makes a difference. What's Luke doing? Luke wants you to know, hey, numbers are something, but they're not everything. And the reason why I want you to hear about the numbers is because the numbers have names, and the names have stories, and the stories matter immensely to our God. That's what Luke is doing. So in the early church, right, do numbers matter? Absolutely. But the reason why the numbers matter, you guys, as my friend Dave Adamson would say, the reason why the numbers matter is because people count. That's why the numbers matter. And so if you're here today and you're wondering, am I just a face in the crowd? I just want you to know that there's a God out there who sees you. He knows your name. He knows your story. You matter immensely to him, so much so that he sent Jesus to die for your sins and to bring you into relationship with him. It's the good news of the gospel. He sees you. He knows you. You matter. And you're invited into relationship with him. So, back to our question for the day. At Gwinnett Church, are we all about the numbers? Yes. Yes. I'll confess, I want as many people as possible to hear the good news of Jesus. I hope this building is full every week with people that are coming to hear the good news of Jesus. I hope as many people as possible get into small groups and have a spiritual community around them to strengthen them, encourage them, and hold them accountable and help them to grow in their life and in their faith. I hope as many people as possible sign up to serve and come to learn, you guys, that the best life possible is one that's not about yourself and it's found in giving your life away. I hope tons of people get that experience and come to find that message to be true in their own life. I hope so many people take the step of baptism and go public with their personal faith in Jesus in order to love and encourage other people as well. So are we all about the numbers? Yes, but at the same time, are we all about the numbers? No, no. Numbers are not what define our success. Numbers are not what we're chasing. When I said yes to ministry 16 years ago, you guys, I did not say yes to building a big church. I said yes to building a healthy church and a faithful church. And so we're not gonna chase numbers, we're gonna chase Jesus, but we believe that he's gonna bring the people. So are we about the numbers? Yes, but are we about the numbers? No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, I can tell you this week, when we celebrated in our staff meeting, we celebrated what God is doing. We didn't open up a single dashboard. We didn't celebrate a single number. You know what we celebrated this week? We celebrated Debbie, who's one of our receptionists, and she's one of the people that goes here, one of the 2,000 people that attends here on a weekly basis. And what we celebrated about Debbie is that Debbie just had her last chemo treatment and she's now cancer-free. That's what we celebrated. What we celebrated this week is a young man named Richie who just started coming to Gwinnett Church recently, and he's one of the 200 young adults that are now in small groups. And Richie texted me this week and said, "Pastor Reed, I've been coming, I've had questions, but now I know it's time. I gotta take the step and go public in my faith. I wanna get baptized." We celebrated Richie this week, and what we celebrated this week was Jorge, my friend Jorge, who 2 years ago, him and his family came to the church for the very first time, and he had questions and he's had doubts and he's wrestled through some things. And this past couple weeks ago, he signed up to now be an Inside Out small group leader for the very first time, which is amazing. So are we all about the numbers? Yes and no. What we believe here at Gwinnett Church, and the reason why we'll continue to count and we'll continue to celebrate, what we believe is that every number has a name, and every name has a story, and every story matters to God. So the numbers matter because the people count.